You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Fifteen on a Friday. Mike McNamara with you. Joined by
me
from Texas. Michael, otherwise known as Michael Musselman.
What's going on? Otherwise known as the Gunner.
We're not doing like fictitious roles today, okay? We're doing like
fictitious.
We're doing real life stuff. What?
You're just mad because like if we would have been in the 1800s, then yeah, then they would have called you the Major. No.
You know, it's interesting that you would embrace that when you kind of distance yourself from everything else relative to the military.
I don't distance myself. I just distance myself from, I think, stupidity.
Yeah, yet you embrace your title.
I earned that title.
Well, everybody earns their title.
Nah, some of them are just tricky. You live and you get it. You trip and you fall and you fall into it.
Now we're going to do the selective application.
You fog a mirror. They check your pulse. And you're like, I'm messing with you. Yeah, you guys are.
I think you're a little bit, we've got a little bit of a narcissism going here. What
I told you.
All right, Mike.
I am a narcissist. I'm not denying it. But I use my narcissism for good.
Like everything in life. What?
Yeah.
So what's
like
going on?
I told my counselor.
What?
Remember, I told my counselor. She's like, And I said, there's a hint of, and I said, narcissistic behavior. Yes, I wasn't going to say that, but since you said it, yes. And that's when I said, don't worry, I use it for good. She's writing again.
Like your superpowers? Like your super.
Yeah, but she's down writing again. I told, man, if she writes a book about me, I better get royalties.
Yeah, from both people that buy it.
Oh, sharp wit. You must have been practicing that line.
No. Are you kidding me? That was a layup.
That was.
That was teed up for me. I'll hit them on all day. What about, so what's going on? What's in your head today?
What's in my head? You don't want to know.
Come on, tell us.
You asked. You know what's in my head, and it was bothering me last night.
Late,
because you know. Okay.
What do you mean, like late? Like late when you did answer my phone call late?
No, I'm telling you, my phone is just jacked up, man. So now I'm gonna go to my phone, but like when I go to dial, like I tried to order pizza last night, and I couldn't even talk to the guy. I'm like, hello. But anyway, late last night, I'm watching a show and I couldn't turn away. I knew it was a stupid show. And I was like, this show's going to make me mad. And so it's called Pompeii. You heard of it? It's a movie. It's not a show, actually. Right?
It's
about Mount Vesuvius,
right.
Pompeii. It has no historical, nothing in it is accurate historically, nothing, not a thing. Okay,
nothing.
But it came out right after, like, must have Gladiator did, and all of those movies with Roman legions and fighting and gladiators and scantily clad women and men, and big battle horses. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm trying.
So Pompeii comes out probably the last. Of maybe the dozen movies that released that year, capitalizing on this whole, another historical movie on our history. And it's just, you see, and 300, that was another thing. Number 300, Spartans.
Right. Which is just an excuse to strip everybody's clothes off and make a movie, right?
Right. So Pompeii is about this, about Mount Vesuvius, but they add Gladiator in there. His family gets butchered by the Romans. He gets brought into slavery as a child, becomes this, mega warrior, and then meets this black guy who's fighting for his freedom. And, so it's like a collage. But then, like, the 300 episodes come in there, like the battle scenes and riding horses. And you're watching this going, and I couldn't turn away. I couldn't turn away.
Why? And you normally are like, this is stupid. I'm not watching it.
Because then I started pointing out, like, that's stupid, or that's part of this. And, like, but then about three quarters through the movie, it hits me like a freaking Mack truck, boom, right in the head. And I'm thinking to myself, and this is where I got angry. Angry at myself, really. I said, God, those guys did it to me again. Meaning those Hollywood executives, the film writers, the guys. Because they know, it's like, we are the rubes, right? We're
no,
the idiots.
Don't say we, you are.
We
I'm
are.
Not.
We
no,
are.
I'm not. You are.
You are.
You're a rube.
You
yeah.
see things, they bait
follow
you.
The follow the shiny object, bozo.
They bait you, they get you. I'm not that guy either.
You
usually don't.
You are that guy. You're talking about yourself being that guy, and now you're denying like Peter. Where is there?
Well,
cock,
I usually
is,
fight
there,
this up.
Is there a cock to crow runner?
No, but it's like the whole, they know us.
They know
it's
you.
Like, ah, they got in my head. No, normally they don't. They don't get into my head.
They
I don't
didn't.
Fall for it.
You did. How do you
but
feel?
I knew I didn't like this. I but then I don't know what compelled me to watch it. And then it was like, oh, thank God. Son of a bitch.
Why didn't your the good side of your brain say, Mac told me that I should watch the Gospels that are on Netflix. That would be an infinitely better choice than this crap.
I don't like Netflix.
What do you mean you don't like Netflix?
I don't like Netflix.
There's movies and documentaries. It's the same as any other one of those things.
Yeah, there is. There's some military documentaries. I was watching Netflix when we were in Colorado. But I don't like it for the simple fact that there's nothing good on it other than the documentaries. I'm not going to...
Well, hello. Of course. Come on, man.
But then I'm not...
Why do you then generalize it to, I don't like Netflix. You don't like the content. Okay, I get that. But they're all the same.
You know.
Amazon Prime, Netflix, what are the other ones? Whatever they are.
Do algorithms to figure out what you're watching and they like, and then they share it with their Hollywood bozo friends.
I know, but you watch what you watch. You use them. So now, so what you're upset about is they used you.
They got me then. And I was so upset. And I was like, I can't believe I fell for that. But I didn't fall for it. That's my point. That's where I'm like in this turbulence.
I don't know.
Because I knew I was watching something stupid.
Yes.
But something compelled me to watch it, keep watching it. Like I knew it wasn't going to get better.
Well, wait a minute. Where does this turmoil come from that Mike the Rube is rejected by Mike the higher life form?
Well, because I think there's like a battle, like the yin and yang, my mortal and then my immortal self, right? Because I'm this immortal person, then I want to know what it's like to be human, so I do these things to try and feel like what it's like to be like the rest of the rubes in the world.
Right.
And then I'm like, see, why do I do that? Because I know what it's like. It sucks.
I know. So then when you stay there too long, the realization begins that I am a rube.
No, well, the realization is maybe I like it. Maybe I like being a sheep. You know? Maybe I like having my head down, my eyes further apart on the side of my head, a grazing animal.
Well, I think, don't you think that's part of a part of everybody's... personality. Now, how much of a part that is and how often you go there, but I don't think there's any shame. I mean, you're dealing with shame. I don't think there's any shame in going there on occasion, as long as you don't dwell there.
As long as you don't buy into it. Like, you're like, oh, this is so blissful.
I
want to reside here forever.
It was so meaningful. Let me watch another garbage flick.
Then he wants Pompeii too.
Exactly. Well,
no Pompeii.
So return to Pompeii. Yeah. They are now re-excavating Pompeii.
Oh, I know. And that's, see, I know that. I've read that, all that stuff on the excavation of Pompeii. And so when they showed the very end where the slave gladiators kissing the royal woman who fought, and he got to kill the guy who killed his parents. Right? Because he didn't age a bit in the 29 years that it's been since he was a child. And And it so happens that the senator of Rome was this general, and he was just as good, if not better, swordsman than this guy. He defeated every other swordsman. I mean, it's like
kind of like the presidents. He could be a general.
Yeah, right. could you imagine? I mean, could you imagine going on a patrol with like Bob?
Could you imagine him?
Mattis
as a lance, Kelly? As a lance corporal or corporal, and you like stumble into him.
No, you're a dork.
Yeah, and him giving him rolling his eyes and giving you some snarky response that he could do it better than you.
Yeah. No.
I could be a general. I fired Mattis. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You fired him. Do you know anything about Jim Webb?
I know a little bit.
Would it surprise you if he took that job?
No, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Why not?
Well, because Trump, when he doesn't know, he goes for a known quantity.
Right.
So he knows things like Webb he was going to pick. You know, he'll take Webb and put him there just to appease the masses. Now, see, don't fall for Webb. Webb is not, yes, he's former military, but he's not. You know what I mean?
No.
He's not like Mattis. I mean, there won't be another Mattis like him. So Webb is going to be, he's going to be like Chuck. Remember when Chuck was the DOD?
Tagle.
Yeah. Former military guy, Vietnam vet.
Right.
Outspoken advocate against the Vietnam War.
Yeah, Hagel, he didn't, not so much. He was not, he was kind of like he kind of retired on active duty in that job. He all of a sudden went silent.
That's going to be Webb.
You think so?
Yeah.
Webb kind of, unlike Hagel, Webb is kind of an intellectual. He's a writer, you know.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
I would be surprised. My own opinion.
He only likes to go to sea on calm days. Not like Mattis. Mattis likes to go to sea.
Webb only likes to go to sea on calm days?
Huh?
Webb only or Hagel?
Both.
I don't know. I don't agree with that. Webb wrote, he's written articles about how women don't belong in the combat arms.
Oh, yeah.
That confirmation hearing will be interesting.
Right, exactly. Watch him buckle, fold like a folding chair for weddings.
You have to. If he goes down that road, you know, you got to fold.
They all do. You got to fold the chair. Everything.
He's not afraid. In the past, he hasn't been afraid to get out there and state his opinion. I would just be surprised because I think what you're going to have.
He's a public guy, Mac. He's a political
I know.
Act. That was the beauty of Mattis. Mattis was not a political hack.
What about when he runs in 2022?
You know, remember his confirmation
2020.
His confirmation hearing was filled with a lot of no, Senator, no, Congressman, no. Yes. He didn't go into these elaborate bullshit Pentagon two-step type discussions.
He did a little bit. He had to with, Kristen Gillibrand when they grilled him about women and combat arms, and he said, I don't have any issue with it. It hasn't been brought up to me until it's brought up.
We just got to look at the facts. We got to look at the data, the empirical data.
No, because if we looked at the data, we would have brought the Marine report out, and we couldn't do that because it didn't say what we needed it to say. So we can't look at the data. He just rolled over on it.
But they all will, man. See, Mike, if I'm up there, what do you feel about women in combat? I don't think they should be there. Why are you here testifying? Because you asked me to come here. I didn't want to be here in front of a bunch of you idiots asking questions. We're done with the questioning. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your participation.
Yeah. And be quick.
Will you make sure he gets the door prizes and then leaves the premises?
Yeah, security, out on his
path. How dare you come here and tell us the truth?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Shall not be heard in this building.
Exactly. Who do you think that you are?
Walk into my house.
Exactly.
Spout this thing called truth from your lips. Yeah.
I could not believe what I had heard.
The audacity
of that man in this house to tell the truth.
That's our legislative branch, man.
I got into a discussion, Mike. You'll enjoy this. So I was talking to somebody, and they were asking me about the presentation that we'll do, and they said, is your background? Do you have like a master's? Or I said no. I said all of this is on the job training.
What's that?
All the information we present. The commandments that I I've developed.
Yeah.
I said it's all the product of, you know, Mike's got 30 plus years in the Marine Corps. I retired at 20, so that's 50 something years, 2.5, almost 3 years of doing interviews where, you know, post combat related mental health, and mental health is at least an element of most of the interviews. So that's the body. It's like no advanced degrees. It's just doing it a lot. Oh, really? Wow. Well, that's interesting. It's like, oh, so wait a minute. I got to get a PhD to, I can't, my experience is less valid if it's like on the job working it every day.
Yes.
Oh no!
God forbid it works. If it works, the whole glass ceiling will fall.
Exactly.
And that cannot. That can't be.
It's like the truth being uttered, and that's it. So the thing I wound up telling the person, I said, "Look, all these are fundamental truths about trauma and living with it. They're fundamental truths." That I would tell you are irrefutable based on life experience.
But
it's like, wow.
Yeah, if it works, though, I'm telling you, be if it works and this thing takes off, be very leery of the day when someone offers you a, hey, Mac, let's get in this private plane and go fly. And then you get there and it's just you and an inflatable pilot and you're strapped in and the plane takes off. And it's the plane is registered somewhere to the Clinton Foundation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How dare you utter the truth in this building? Do you not know?
Yeah.
Do you not know what goes on here? I watched them on TV. Not very impressive. How dare you? Scientists release photos of new Pompeii find. Horses remarkably preserved.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah, in volcanic ash. What a bad day, man.
But...
You would have been happy, though, wouldn't you? Yeah, finally, the extinction is here.
Yeah. If I would have been living in Pompeii, yeah, God, in what, you know, 406 BC?
79 AD.
Oh, okay.
How did you?
It would have been fine.
How did you not know that?
Oh, I'm not a big Pompeii. I don't know.
You're not a big Pompeii guy? You just watched the movie last night, Bozo.
I just told you it's not historically correct, Bozo.
Right.
Yeah, they just restored a gladiator building, which is cool.
The gladiators.
Gladiators.
Exactly.
It's not like Gladiator the movie with what's-his-face.
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe is probably not even near that kind of level.
So this is their version of the WWE. Mean Gene Okerlund passed away, man. I saw that yesterday. I was bummed out. Mean Gene, he would interview all those guys after they wrestled. He was hilarious. That guy, he played straight man. He was like Ed McMahon, but he was so much funnier. And anyway, if you've ever watched that, and if you're in the Marine Corps and have never watched wrestling, come on, quit lying about it.
I didn't like wrestling, but I watched it.
It used to make me laugh my ass off, man. It's like this. It's stupid. But they, in the early, what, in the I watched it most in the 90s. When my kids, I caught watching it once. I was in the other room on the computer, and all of a sudden, I hear all three of my kids, ages 6, 8.5, and 10.5, yell, suck it, right? And I'm like,
right.
What the fuck was that? I walk out there, and I said, what did you just yell? Because I had to make sure it wasn't fuck it. And the oldest looks up and says, suck it. It's what D-Generation X yells when they do this. And he does this, like, move that they do where you cross
your arms.
Cross your arms and you slam your knife-edged hands on opposing hips. Bam! Suck it! I'm like, what the fuck? So I sit down and watch it, and it's, like, stupid, funny shit. Physical shit. And they, like, filling up, convertible Corvettes with concrete till the doors blow out. I mean, yeah. The Rock coming out, you know, and he's hilarious. But it's just, you know, just stupid shit, right? Stone Cold Steve Austin. But come on, Marines, it was the conversation piece the day after it would be on. Monday Night Raw or whatever they call it. Man, Marines, yeah. Marines love that shit. And so I used to watch it. I paid.
No, I didn't know this.
I paid.
There's a town called Oplotus.
What?
And it was actually closer to Mount Vesuvius than Pompeii, but it gets no recognition.
Did it get wiped out or did it?
Yeah, it's gone. Buried in ash and lava, much like Pompeii. You're that the Oplotus is like right next to Vesuvius, so it should be. You know, Oplotus should be like the standard. Just Pompeii, much like Oplotus, was wiped out. Not Oplotus.
Well, yeah, but if they didn't, you know, excavate it, if they didn't get the money to excavate it, and they didn't get on TV, then it doesn't exist.
Yeah, then Pompeii gets all the
pub.
Bullshit, man.
Yeah, Pompeii.
I'm going to start a campaign to get Oplotus.
This is your compensation for being a rube. This is rube compensation.
Yeah, this is my
clawback.
It's my payback.
This is my clawback to get my life
YouTube
back.
YouTube always suckers you in for these like click on this and it's like one of the videos 25 mind blowing facts about the Pompeii destruction.
All right, give me one.
Pompeii was wiped out by a volcano. That's all you should need to know.
I know.
That's pretty mind blowing.
No, it's not. I know that. I've known that since I was a kid. Tell me something about the event that I don't know.
I gotta open the so now and you made me open this stupid video. Now YouTube just took down my data and sent it to Hollywood.
Rube alert. Yeah.
Rube alert. Rube is on. So one of the facts: Pompeii was a highly flourishing city. Number two.
That's it. That's what you got for
even me. Nero. So Pompeii was a vacation place. So okay. Nero had some property there.
Who's the emperor of Rome?
Yeah. Well, this is, they think. I mean, it's not like there's records, you know. Not like the timeshare records are still there. And Nero's name is on it.
They're probably.
Not even Nero could get out of his timeshare.
Here's a Pompeii fact. The eruption of Vesuvius in AD 79 caused vast damages. Fires were started, rooftops were swept away, columns collapsed. Most of the inhabitants of town escaped into the surrounding countryside, although we have no idea of how many of those died there. They took with them small valuables like coins, jewelry, lamps, organic materials like sheets, blankets, curtains, were mostly destroyed. In the years and centuries after the eruption, salvagers explored Pompeii, tunneling through the walls and removing valuable objects. So you know, just like in Egypt, right, the great motivation to go look was to steal.
Yeah, just that.
Exactly. Just like when you have like the fires up in Paradise, what were the first people that went back into those places? The thieves, right? Same thing in New Orleans, the looters.
Oh, yeah, looters.
The earliest formal excavations in the 18th century were little more than treasure hunting exercises which means the records of finds are poor or non-existent. There is also evidence that some finds, such as wall paintings and pottery, were deliberately destroyed by the excavators because they were not considered to be of high enough quality. All these factors make Pompeii a challenging site to study, much like other archaeological sites. So there's a Pompeii fact for you.
Yeah, well, that's just not a fact. I mean, that's just the way it is. Ever since Pompeii, I guess, now we should call them Pompeians, people that come in after loot and steal and, so at least they were doing it in 79 AD. It's not like...
Okay, here's another Pompeii fact. The cult of Isis was particularly popular in Pompeii.
Isis?
Isis. The Greek,
remember that TV show, Isis?
The Egyptian goddess, Isis.
Images? Remember the TV show, though, Isis, in the 70s?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No, you watch a lot more TV than I do, I think.
When I was a kid, yeah.
Still, I think. You watch a lot of it. Images and statuettes of Isis have been found in more than 20 houses, often alongside figurines of more traditional Roman gods and goddesses. Although Roman writers were suspicious of the cult of Isis, which they thought threatened traditional Roman values like honor and duty to the state, the Temple of Isis at Pompeii had existed in Pompeii for around 200 years before the eruption in 79 AD, which means that cult had been long established in Pompeii. Followers of Isis believed that she offered the possibility of life after death, but she also was a patron goddess of sailors. Is Pompeii along the coast, Mike?
Yeah, it was on the coast.
The shirtless plains were popular as Pompeii, which is located by the sea.
By the sea. So, like Cardiff by the sea.
Exactly. So the possibility of eternal life and, safety at sea.
Yeah. But Isis was a TV show in the 70s. It only did one season.
Really?
Yeah, that's when you said Isis. I was like, oh man, I remember a TV show. Joanne Cameron, 22 episodes. Actually, two seasons.
Oh my God. We're not really going to do Isis TV show talk. Then you are. Then, you know what? That officially makes you a rube.
No.
Yes,
no.
It does. If you're like, if you like play the Isis TV show that you watched in the 70s card, that means you are a rube. This is from Libby, entitled Wrestling. Libby's from Alabama, so you know.
Oh, yeah. Grew up on wrestling in
exactly.
Nashville.
If there's a target market for wrestling, it's Alabama. Ha ha. I caught the boys watching the WWF, or whatever it was called. I called it low-class trailer park trash TV. Wouldn't let them watch it. That is tame now. Boy, have things changed. What do you mean, trailer trash?
Yeah, I take offense to that.
Yeah, so do I. Does that mean I'm trailer trash if I actually purchased? What was the big events that they would have? WrestleMania.
Like cage matches.
Oh, my God. The greatest match I ever saw was Mankind and Kane in the cage match The Undertaker threw Mankind off the top of the cage, and he hit the timer's table, and then he lost a tooth and went through his mouth, and it popped out. And then Mankind,
I never saw that one.
Oh my God, it was great. And then Mankind, like, he was like dying, and he climbed back up on top of the cage, and they continued the fight. And then after that, the Hardy Boys were involved in a ladder match that was awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of shit that you saw.
Yeah, I think the greatest one is when Hulk Hogan fought Andre the Giant.
Was such a... I mean, come on, he was in... what was the movie he was in? The fairy tale movie.
Princess Bride.
Princess Bride, right? Not the Princess Diaries, but the Princess Bride. Yeah, come on, Andre the Giant? He was a nice, just big guy. And then you got Hulk Hogan with all his craziness. Brother!
Yeah, no, I like Macho Man, Randy Savage, the way he used to talk. nothing gets me laughing more than when Macho Man, Randy Savage,
Hey, and if you can imagine a bunch of Marines, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this comes up, and they start doing these moves on each other. And, oh, my God, it is like piss your pants hysterical. And then they start imitating them. Oh, my God.
Oh, but and I went to a costume party when someone dressed up, I mean, almost identical. And it was the cowboy hat, the studded cowboy hat.
He was crazy. Randy Savage, the Macho Man. He had all the, like, that fringe that he'd wear.
Yeah, like the ostrich quill feathers. But he had, like, the big glasses on, like the kind you get with your eye surgery. Like, right. I don't know if they made him just for that.
It was crazy.
He's dead, though. You know, he died at a pretty early age.
Yeah, those guys don't live.
Don't last long.
Like, those guys don't live very high-quality life. Jimmy Superfly Snuka? I didn't like that dude.
I didn't like that guy.
He's a loser. I like this. I like, let's see. I like Mankind. I thought he was funny. Mick Foley, I thought he was funny. You had to like the Rattlesnake, Steve Austin, right? And the McMahon family, as big of a bunch of idiots as they seem to be, and he seems like a complete shyster. He seems like another version of Donald Trump. Yeah. Man, one of the funniest things I ever saw was Stone Cold Steve Austin got in. He was pissed, right? So he leaves the ring. He walks to the curtain. He's in the bowels of the stadium, and he sees a Coors beer truck. So he hops in, starts it up, and he drives it, and he hits the ring. He gets out, and all of a sudden there's like a fire hose connected to the truck that squirts beer. Go figure, right? He opens this thing up, he knocks Vince McMahon down in the ring, and he's squirting him with this huge fire hose stream of beer. And McMahon's on the floor of the ring, and he's like acts like he's trying to swim. It is the stupidest shit, but I was laughing. The other thing I liked when the old women would wrestle, like the Fabulous Moolah. She's like somebody's grandma. She's like 60-something.
Those were the days of when it was really cool to watch. I just sent you that link. Look on Skype. When he's talking, oh, my God. He just said, with his neck on, oh, Mean Gene, I'll tell you, I'm looking for him. The way he comes around.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That stuff is like
so funny. All right. It is.
Oh, it doesn't get any better than, like, him.
And you had Gene Okerlund. Yeah, you had Gene Okerlund, who would, like, try to, he would act like it was a serious interview.
And oh, yeah, he was, like, comedian serious, yeah.
Yeah. His son played, I don't know if he played in the NHL, but I think he did for a little bit, Gene Okerlund. But he was a straight man. And, oh, my God, it was a soap opera. That went on week after week after week. And
yeah, people are still writing on his page saying, I still can't believe you're gone, Randy. But happy birthday and rest in peace. You're my hero. I mean, it's like, happy birthday. Not sure why he's intimidating.
How about Sergeant Slaughter? That's old school, man. That dude, remember that? And they always have, so, like, then all of a sudden the shit starts with the Middle East, right? They would have
and they bring out the
Arab guys, right? The Iron Sheik. The Iron Sheik. These guys would come out with these beards, and they're probably Hispanic, right? Like, hey, it's all right. We're going to make him the Iron Sheik. What? How much more money? It'll be $5,000 more a week. All right, I'm all in. I'll be the Iron Sheik. Oh, my God. And the shit they would say, my God. And the people would be going crazy in those places. Did you ever go to one?
When I was younger, because Minnesota was really big, and that was like Greg Gagne was from Minnesota. They used to do all the so before the WWF or the WWF, I don't forget what it was. They used to wrestle in auditoriums, like gym auditoriums, right. It was like a traveling show.
Right.
So we'd go to them as kids, and you pay your $1.50. It was just nickel dime stuff, and it was so cheesy, but it was just that. The axe, you know, guy'd come out dressed as Batman, and then he'd fight, like, one guy'd come out with, like, six monkeys with the, you know, on his back, jumping around, dressed as Batman, and then the other guy'd come out, and his name was Brad Anderson, blonde-haired kid, you know, And you knew who was going to win. It was the guy with the six monkeys on his back. Because that was his shtick. If you had a shtick, you... But if you're Brad Anderson, poor Brad Anderson's got their ass kicked.
Yeah, they were the stand-up guys, man. They were
yeah,
like...
you had the Junkyard Dog. I mean, the Big John Studd. Remember Big John Studd? He used to carry around the big 2x4 on his shoulder.
Now, and did they travel around? Because like, we had one in Sacramento.
Yeah, they traveled.
That was on every week, and I think they filmed it locally. And there were guys like, I remember, Peter Mavia and Ray Stevens. But I think they were like local, like Northern California guys.
You remember Jim Dugan? I always thought he was mentally handicapped. He used to walk around. He was the big patriot guy. That was when, you know, America was big again. He was like always carrying the flag. But he was just, the way he acted, it was like, I don't know, he's borderline.
Yeah, borderline. Yeah, Peter Mavia. The Samoan American wrestling professional, better known as Peter Mavia, he is the maternal grandfather of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, part of the famous Inouye family, and was a promoter of the National Wrestling Alliance in Hawaii. So I met Peter Mavia when he would like, when something would go wrong, all of a sudden his head would start shaking and his hands would go on his head, and then he'd like look around, you're like, oh man, some shit's going to happen right now. But I thought they filmed it on, you know, pretty much a regular basis at Channel 40 studio in Sacramento.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Once
it got big, yeah.
Carl Ray Stevens, better known as Ray the Crippler Stevens, or Ray Blonde Bomber Stevens, was an American professional wrestler. Stevens was a wrestling superstar since the early years of television era until he retired in the early 1990s. Born in West Virginia, died in Fremont, California. Ray Stevens. Yeah, he and Peter Mavia would go at it.
So King Kong Bundy. Remember King Kong Bundy? King Kong Bundy was this big, fat, bald-headed, and he's just weird looking. But Bundy's career petered out after his next WrestleMania appearance being in a six-man tag team match involving midget wrestlers, one of whom he had actually crushed before leaving the company. You're like, what the? These were the golden eras, man. Tito Santana,
Tito.
The Big Boss Man. He was from, like, Alabama. He had the Confederate flag on his sleeve. He was a police officer that used to beat up on
the
Mexicans
rednecks.
And black people.
Yeah,
and,
they
love like,
the rednecks in wrestling, man. They've, like, played.
And then the Legion of Doom. They came out after Mad Max movies because they dressed like the guys from Mad Max. They had the big shoulder pads, but they were the Legion of Doom.
The,
Brutus the Barber Beefcake, when he used to cut Hulk Hogan's hair with the big... gardening shears.
How about George the Animal Steel and his hairy back and bald head? He looked like Quasimodo, right?
Yeah.
And George, and he'd come out, and he'd, like, start eating a shoe or something like that.
Who was the guy that did the claw? The Count, right?
The claw?
Yeah. The claw. He was, like, one of the original guys, the claw guy.
The Iron Claw, WWE wrestler who used the claw. Mankind used to pull the sock out of his pants and put it on his. Oh my god! Oh my god!
But who used the claw?
Wrestling in the arts, the Crusher and Baron von Raschke.
Baron von Raschke. Yes. Look at his picture.
Oh my god! This shit is like the crazier, the better, right?
Oh yeah, I mean this guy looked like he was in a insane asylum.
I think that's where they found most of these people.
He talked out of the side of his mouth, claimed to be from Germany. He was probably from like Detroit, Michigan.
I know. Yeah, it's probably from
an out of work motor, you know, Ford worker, assembly line guy. He's probably installed left side doors on Ford pickup trucks. Lost his job.
My
come shaves his head,
But you know, hey, one of the highlights of of the Bush funeral was that little clip where the story that Ric Flair told, where he got a call from the White House and said, "Could you stand by? Would you be available to fly from Andrews down to your hometown of Charleston, South Carolina, with the Bushes?" Sure. Any reason? Well, the Bushes are going down there, and they'd like you to go with them if you wouldn't mind. And they're both big wrestling fans. You're like, yes. You got to like that. Come on. How could you not be a wrestling fan? It was funny. And anybody who tells you it's not funny never really watched it. Okay.
No,
and it was stupid. It was stupid as shit. But I'll tell you what, it was funny. It was funny. Yeah. One of my roommates in college took his son to go. He said, and this was maybe 10 years ago. He said, and I said, "What was it like?" And he took him to see the big show, right? The whole big extravaganza at the Pond in Anaheim. He said, "Man, the better show than the ring is in the crowd." He said, "The people that come, the way they're dressed." He goes,
"Oh, the way they interact."
Yeah, it's like going to the county fair, wondering, do these people actually live around here? Just hilarious, he said. He said, but the funny part is like when they hit each other with chairs and shit like that, you know, the glancing blow they do, and then they, oh my God, wrestling is funny. Come on, man.
Yeah, so Baron von Raschke was from Minnesota, St. Paul.
Yeah, here's an email. "You two are hilarious. I'm crying. Boy, you think you know someone. Closet wrestling fans." Yeah, this starts with Mike having low self-esteem because he's a rube and dragging me into it.
Look at this. Look at my picture right now. Can you see my screen sharing? Look at Randy the Savage Macho Man.
No, it's... Yeah. That's his... Right?
That's the way.
Yeah, that's him. That's him with his gold fringe on, orange fringe on, his gorge.
They love to
play the, you know.
Hey, I'm getting a phone call from Detroit, Michigan. Maybe it's Baron von Raschke.
macho. And then they would sew in like all this gay stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like flamboyant gay stuff on really macho guys. And that's how they...
He married Miss Elizabeth.
Miss Elizabeth, man. She was beautiful. Miss Elizabeth.
Miss Elizabeth is doing now.
She's mourning, man. Randy's gone. She's sitting at home knitting. Sitting at home.
Oh, yeah. She was a pretty girl.
She's beautiful. Yeah, she looks like a...
Oh, she died too.
What?
She's dead, dude.
No.
She died at age 42. Yeah, look at there.
Of natural... How did she die?
Rescue worker... Was she there? 42, unresponsive, was transported to Kingstown Hospital, where she later died. Not determined the cause of death. Still waiting for the autopsy report.
That just ruined my day, Miss Elizabeth.
I know, mine too. I'm like, what? I mean, look.
What year is this?
I used to have a crush on her. Look at her.
You think? Hello.
God,
Miss Elizabeth died.
What the hell? Yeah. I missed this. 2003. She's been dead for 15 years.
16. The
well, just starting.
Go get technical with me. I know. Crushing. Just, all right, let's end this conversation about wrestling.
Can't go anymore. We're done. What's the next thing we're going to talk about? Hey, I got class tomorrow about compass reading. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm lost today.
We're getting close to the land nav. Now, wrestling, man, and look, the McMahons have taken that thing and built it into this. You know, the bad part about that, though, is you see those dudes, and they are not very healthy human beings, man, and it's bad. How did she do? What was the cause of death, though? She's 42 years old, and she died suddenly? You know, That was her look that she did that was awesome. She would stand by the side of the ring and look worried.
That was, yeah, she that had was, this hometown.
Yeah.
She was. She was the girl next door.
Yeah, beautiful kind of.
Natural beauty.
Yeah, and looking like so concerned, the doe-eyed look next to the ring with the Macho Man. Miss Elizabeth.
So, wow. Beach blankets called, I've got to get one of those.
Yeah, I got to get a Miss Elizabeth towel.
Yeah. Look at that look, that wholesome.
That wholesome, doe-eyed. Oh, he's such a wonderful guy. And he looks like he's in
danger. You guys just don't understand.
He looks like he's in danger. But you know what? When we were kids, and they've eliminated it now, but come on, was there anything better than midget wrestling? That was
I felt bad, but I couldn't turn away.
That was the beginning of you being a rube. That was the only wrestling my dad would watch. I won't watch any of it except when the midgets are on. What?
The midgets would come out and fight.
Yeah, they would come out.
Struggle for Ghost. No. Oh. It's just getting worse.
A prescribed drug overdose.
Oh, no. Oxycodone.
Yeah, see, you know what? That whole industry with the... what they do to their bodies with testosterone and then the injuries. But I like, you know what? The Fabulous Moolah, that old lady, she would do some funny shit, man. She would do some funny stuff.
Passed away, man. Found a drug overdose. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad
Booger was arrested for drug possession, so a result of her death.
Hello.
Miss Elizabeth, if I would have known you earlier in my life, I would have rescued from all this.
Yeah, yeah, would have made you an honest woman.
You know, there's a lot of Miss Elizabeths out there. You know,
lost in the sauce.
Yeah,
that's just a
need
bad
a good man to rescue him.
That's a bad gig though. That whole wrestling thing. You look at again what they do to their bodies, and you know, for a little bit of fame. Dwayne Johnson is one of the few that is, you know, went there. Got big and then left and has gone on to do film and other things. Now he wants to be president.
You know, she graduated from University of Kentucky.
Of course, man. She's a wholesome American beauty.
Yeah, from Kentucky.
From the heart.
She's buried in the Frankfort Cemetery in Kentucky.
Maybe we'll take a drive up there.
I'm going to have to go up there and get a rubbing of her stone.
Yeah.
Hanging on the wall.
Miss Elizabeth.
5'4", 115 pounds.
She's a beautiful girl. Beautiful girl. But you know what? How does she get hooked in with those kind of guys who are crazy?
I don't know.
Those are crazy guys. She's a bad girl.
Or 1960.
And you know we love them. Bad girls like Marines for some reason.
They do.
You meet them. And I said that to Ken Rogers' wife. Like, yo, Ken, you got a lot of issues. And then I looked at Betty and I said, and you look at him and see Romeo, I think you got more issues than he does.
Yeah, that's you got to say it just right because you don't want to insult them, but it's true.
And he started laughing and so did she. And he said, finally, somebody calls it like it is.
Yeah, women that are attracted to Marines have more problems than the Marine.
Yeah. The Marines are just being themselves.
Who looks into that and says, God, you know, it's like, you know, you're
hero.
In a boat and you see a bunch of sharks fish swimming around and you're like, hey, let's go check them out. You jump in. Who does that? No one. No, wives of Marines. That's what we're talking about.
He's my hero.
Yeah. Yep. Crazy.
Oh, poor baby. And she's been like that since she was a teenager.
So when we do the spouses night, you should just start off like that. I just want to clarify one thing. First of all, your husband's made me crazy, but you married him. Yeah. So that makes you guys.
So this is going to be the far more interesting session, all right? Because they're like B team, all right? You guys are A team. You guys sprinted to that. So
yeah,
let's talk about it, girlfriends. Let's talk about
Yeah.
I have this quote. I use in the presentation, and I was talking to Josh Goldberg, who'll be in North Carolina with us, and he said something about, hey, that's a cool quote from Kanye West. And the Kanye West quote is, the truth lands with a thud and needs no salesman.
That's not his quote.
I know it's not. I said, that's not his quote. I made that shit up. But I'm just going to, I'll go out and I'll say it. This is what this is. This is just the truth. All right. And then I'll put this bullshit Kanye West quote up. I'm like, yeah, legit. Kanye West said that. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And I'll say, he didn't say that, man. because part of doing this, though, is it has to be entertaining. If they don't laugh, if they don't get into it.
Right, it can't be a lecture.
Yeah, if it's not, it needs to be like Marine style, which means there's got to be fun involved in it. And I mean, it's got to be this kind of meter of grab their heart a second and make them laugh, you know, 5 seconds later as you take them through this thing. And so he started laughing. He goes, that shit is funny. I said, hey, man, Kanye West is legit. He's like, he is. He is. So anyway, WWE email. Who is your favorite WWE character of all time?
Miss Elizabeth.
My favorite character of all time. I like the, who is the guy, the commentators? Those guys to me were really funny.
Yeah, well, you had Mean Gene.
And Mean Gene was, and then you had, who was the guy that would sit in the black
McMahon
cowboy?
Well, then he became the president of it.
Yeah.
But Jim McMahon.
But there was a guy that was, he wore a black cowboy hat, and he sat next to Gene, would do the interviews in between periods. That's hockey. In between, the Canadian junior hockey team lost at the World Junior Championships. I know that speaks poorly of me, but I love it when they lose, especially in Canada. Sorry about that. And then the Canadians, when their team loses, they just annihilate them. Yeah, you guys are shit. We hate you. Now we're gonna
Jim Ross. Jim Ross with the black cowboy hat on. Real serious face.
Hey, Duffy, we should get
Texan.
I'll tell you what. Sometime in the future, we're going to get a mutual friend of ours, Duffy White, on. If you want to talk about somebody who loves wrestling, okay?
Yep.
He is one of the guys, and he's a Marine officer too, that will make you piss your pants laughing about. And he claims credit for Andy Hardy, Andy Kaufman, getting involved in wrestling. And he says, I picked him up in the Marriott Suites shuttle. My brother was running the front desk. I drove the shuttle. And while I was bringing Andy Kaufman into the hotel from the Memphis airport, he said, what's there to do here in Memphis? And Duffy says, I told him, there's wrestling tonight. Jimmy the King Lawler is going to wrestle, blah, blah, blah. So he went down there. And that's what got him into wrestling. So Duffy says, I'm the one that got him into wrestling, where he went on, like, who showed, David Letterman or somebody, and said, wrestling's fake. It's all garbage. I could beat their asses. And then he wrestled somebody who tried to kill him. Oh, my
right.
God. Duffy claims responsibility for all that. So we'll bring him on to talk wrestling. We should do a wrestling show every once in a while. And
yeah, wrestling kind of makes you change your voice and talk like this.
Yeah. But,
it also brings you down because, like you said,
Miss Elizabeth, shit. But if you're
going to dedicate this hour to Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, if you are out in the middle of the Delta Corridor and everything's over and you're waiting to be picked up on trucks and brought back to Camp Wilson or wherever, and you're just like,
it's Miss Elizabeth that gets you through the day.
Oh, my God. And it's the Marines that they start doing moves on each other. And you're laying there, and you're, like, leaning against your pack watching this. And then they go into their imitations of whoever. Oh, my God. It is the shit that is absolutely hilarious. It's what you love about the Marine Corps. Like, stupid people doing stupid things. It's the best.
And they're still doing it. It's not as big. I mean, it still has its following, but it's not like the heyday. Not.
You don't think so? I don't know.
No,
in that age group, though, they love that shit.
Yeah, a lot of them, you know, the two famous ones, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and The Rock, have transitioned to Hollywood. You know, I'm just not a big, I can't.
Yeah,
I mean, like I said, I miss the days of, like those crazy guys, Mick Foley.
I had my daughter. Patrick did some wrestling move to Catherine. And Patrick was probably about 9 or 10, and Catherine was about 7. So I said, okay, if you did it to her, she can do it to you. Now, the move is called the pedigree. You take the person and you're facing each other. You take their head and you stick it between your thighs, right? And then you pin their forearms, you pin their arms behind their back, and then you drop down to their knees and their face goes straight into the floor with your pelvis, like, on the back of their head, right? Now, the key to the move, though, is when you drop, right, when you go to the floor, you let go of the person's arms so they can get their hands out in front of themselves and cushion it so that their face doesn't get crushed, right?
Right.
So I tell Catherine you can do it. She doesn't let go of Patrick's arms. She piles his face right into the floor. He screams like a bitch. I swear to God, I started laughing. He's rolling around the floor holding his nose. Catherine's like, what? Oh, my God. It was so funny. The pedigree. Patrick got pedigree that day. Screwed up his nose for life.
Mine was, like I said, it's just so funny. Like, you get thrown into the ropes, and you automatically rebound and run across, and then you get clothesline. I used to love that. Or, you know, I don't know, man. It was just, like, so funny. Everything was so freaking funny.
God, it was.
The old moves, not the new moves.
There was a guy named Rafiki. He used to do this dance. He had the biggest ass on the planet. And one of his moves was he'd throw you into the corner, you'd hit the turnbuckle and go to the floor. So you're laying up against, you know, the corner, and he'd come over, and he wore this, like, sumo thong, and he'd put his ass right on your face, and then he'd do this twerky dance.
And the guy'd be scrapped, like, underneath, like,
kicking his, yeah.
Like doing the cockroach.
Doing the cockroach. Oh, my God, it is. And then he could dance. He was like 350 pounds. He could dance like, you know, like some kind of guy on Soul Train. And after he won his match, they'd play this music and he'd freeze. And then he'd look around and he'd put his sunglasses on. And then he'd do this dance. Oh, my God, it was the best.
Oh, my God, I can't think about this.
I know. I haven't watched it, but I swear to God, if you put it on, I'll sit there and watch it. Anyway, what are you doing this weekend? You're teaching your class tomorrow, LandNav. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What else? You gonna go back to Pompeii? You gonna watch more stupid Rube movies? What are you gonna do?
No, I'm not. Like I said, the Pompeii one got me spun out, man. I was like, why did you do this? Why did you take a good story and make it into this collage of 300 Gladiator and all these other stupid,
So how do you intend to get your way out of Rubeville? How do you?
Oh, I'm out of it.
You're out of it? You're just disappointed. Yeah, you're just disappointed in yourself?
Yeah. Like I said, every once in a while, I think I got to go back and get in touch with my mortal, delicate self. Yeah.
All right. Well, look, have a good weekend. I'll see you Sunday.
Yeah, I'll see you Sunday. All right. Take care.
Bye. There you have it. Just when you think the show couldn't go any lower, it surprises you and does. That'll do it on a Friday. Email. Mac, for Gunner being the Rube, you certainly dove in there like a champion. Here's another email. It's the one about James Webb. James Webb as possible Secretary of Defense. I became a Marine because of his book, Fields of Fire. Bought it at a 7-Eleven in Hampton, New Hampshire, sometime in the late 70s. I still got it, and a hard copy, too. Thoughts? You know, he was the Secretary of the Navy. I've read Fields of Fire, like a lot of guys did. I read it as a paperback. He was a platoon commander in Vietnam, and it was his story. So I'm the executive officer of the Marine Detachment on the USS Ranger, and we're out in the Straits of Hormuz, just south of the Persian Gulf, and this is before aircraft carriers went into the Persian Gulf. And he flies out to the carrier, and he's gonna. We were out there with I can't remember the New Jersey, the Wisconsin, the Missouri, one of the battleships. Probably the Missouri, and it was in front of us. So he comes out to visit, and he came down to visit the Marines. So we get all the Marines in our rec room, TV room, right? And he comes in, and they go crazy, right? First Marine ever to become Secretary of the Navy, and he was awesome, right? He's a grunt. He's in front, and we had told him that, you know, just about 99% of these Marines are grunts. And he looks at everybody, he goes, you know, he puts his hand up and they get quiet and he says, "How are you devil dogs today?" And they're like, they go crazy, right? And he said, "Now we're in charge of the whole Department of the Navy. First Marine ever to be in charge. What do you think?" And they go crazy. And he said, "And one more thing, I think I'm the first Secretary of the Navy to have one of these." And with that, he pulls his shirt sleeve up. He's got this big tattoo of a sunrise and somebody walking on a beach. He said, "I got that on my R&R leave in Thailand in 1968. And they were like, "Yeah!" And then, so yeah, he spent some time with the Marines talking and answering questions. And then he went up to the wardroom and he started talking about the DOD, defense policy, you know, medical issues within the DOD. And I sat there and listened, and I said, he's one of the smartest dudes I've ever heard talk. I mean, his command of different issues, and you could tell his innate intelligence, was really, really impressive. Really, really impressive. So, but I don't know. I think Webb probably has great respect for Jim Mattis. And so you pick up the phone and say, "Hey, what am I getting myself into? Am I expected to be a bobblehead?" And James Webb, just like Jim Mattis, James Webb isn't anybody's bobblehead. And so I would be surprised if Webb takes that position. Because if you look at the trend, anybody of substance, right, has left the administration. Pompeo stays and Bolton stays. For how long? Until the next right turn that he does with some issue. And you can see what happens is the president, you know, does this, you know, this bit of craziness in Syria. And again, whether we should get out, we can discuss that. Under what conditions do we get out? Okay? Who takes our place? All that stuff is stuff that ought to be negotiated in and discussed in conjunction with our allies. And that's what the nation that leads the free world does. That's how it behaves. And now what you have now is a president who says, "I'm following my gut," right? Which again, should scare the shit out of all of us, because he doesn't have the experience required to have a gut yet. He's a novice. And when a novice uses a gut, most of the time it's wrong, or they get played by somebody else. And then what happens is what's happening now, which is in the aftermath. You have Lindsey Graham saying, "Well, our departure is going to be dragged out. I think we've hit the pause button on it." And then you have the president saying, "Pause? We're not pausing anything." Just like with the wall. Kelly, it's not really a wall. It's never been a wall. There's certainly barriers in some places where required, technology in others, more agents in other places, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, that makes sense to me, right? It makes sense to everybody. And then you have the president come behind him and say, "You know, look, the media's reporting it's not a wall. It's a wall." Like, okay, whatever. And it's just a stupid political thing we do. And so, does Jim Webb want to sign up to be one of the characters, one of the characters in a WWE match that, you know, has Donald Trump at the center of it? consistently being the champion. I just find it difficult to believe people of substance will say, I'll sign up for this theater, and then would Webb not call Mattis and say, hey, Jim, and would he not call Kelly? Hey, I just want to know what I'm getting into. Hey, look, I'll give you the unvarnished truth about what you're going to get into with no editorial significance, with no editorial comment. And that's the way those guys are. So, I don't know. For me, a person of substance to put themselves in a position that they're not going to be listened to, and they're going to be used. And then if you look at Rex Tillerson, you look at John Kelly, and now you look at Jim Mattis, right? You get the alienation and then resignation or being fired, and then you get the name calling as you go out the door. You know, Trump saying yesterday he could be a general, Trump saying that he fired Mattis and all that kind of bullshit. Jim Webb, does he want that in his life? I would be surprised if he said yes. So, interesting, some of the names that have been floated about. And will they decide to hang their hat on a president? And now that the Democrats are there, this next year is going to be about investigations and the talk of impeachment, and that's before Robert Mueller comes out with whatever he comes out with. So, again, I would be surprised if somebody like James Webb took that job. I think that he would have considered it, and had the president, I think, if the president's shit was tighter, right, if he had skewed to, I think, what more people had aspired from him, surround yourself with good people, listen to him, right, get the economy going. If that was going and you had to deal with Trump's tweets, I think that would, but you're intellectually, you'd be taken seriously, and your counsel would be followed seriously. I don't think people would be afraid, but I don't to sign up. I don't see that as a reality, given the substantive people that have departed, starting with Nikki Haley. So, with that said, have a great weekend. John Allen writes a piece. You can look that up in the Washington Post about ISIS and the coalition that was put together, the condition they're in. Don't be afraid to check that out. Next time you hear me, it'll be from North Carolina. So that's kind of here already. Excited about that. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday, on a Friday, All Marine Radio. Over and out.